Welcome back to Off the Cuff Knuckles here with you, Sean Coleman, alongside me. And right now, we're going to find out, apparently, his word is golden. He understands the rules. I knew how to break them. He apparently knew how to call them. I don't know. I don't always agree with that. But I do have faith in the call he'll make on this goal last night by Trevor Daley. I happen to think Kerry might be able to shed a little light onto if it was a goal or if it wasn't a goal. With us now, Kerry Frazier. What's up, Kerry?
Hey, Knox. How you doing, pal?
I'm good, pal. How are you?
Wonderful.
Good stuff. Listen, last night, again, the referees were forced to make a call on a play that, you know what, I have a hard time believing that wasn't a goal. Trevor Daley goes in, scrambling the crease. He's going for the puck. Going for the puck. Does make contact with the goaltenders. Pad. I get it. And then puts the puck into the net. No goal. What's your call?
Well, I say no goal on the coach's challenge. The right call was made there. Kelly Sutherland reviewed it. And he saw what I saw from a referee's perspective, which was the player Daley can go into the crease once the puck's there. That's open season for the puck, but not the goalkeeper. So the first shot with Daley's stick was in the pad area to perhaps try to dislodge the puck. The puck popped out back outside the crease. Daley, now here's where the problem arose. Daley then put his stick on the skate blade of Craig Anderson, and with a hard push, shoved, Anderson started to slide and went deep into the net. The puck then came back to the crease, a.k.a. like Brett Hull's goal against Buffalo.
Yeah.
And Daley, from his knees, was able to deposit that puck into the net. Anderson had no position as a result of the push to be able to defend his goal. The right call was ultimately made. But I got to tell you, Knox, this really demonstrates the inconsistency with which we've seen Rule 69 enforced through review process over the course of these playoffs. There were some that were as bad, if not worse than that, that have people scratching their heads on as to whether it should have been allowed to be a good goal to stand. So that case last night, right call made. I'm all for it. Protect the goalies. Let them play their position. But on the other hand, man, I'll tell you, this is all over the map with decisions that we've seen so far.
Okay, well, which leads to question two for me on that play. If he interferes with the goaltender, why not a penalty? They feel that disallowing the goal is enough? Or why not a penalty?
Well, because the rule says that if it is deliberate.
Oh, he didn't mean to do that then?
Well, he was. You're the guy that said he was going after the puck, so I'm just taking your philosophy that in the act of searching for the puck, he happened to incidentally contact the goalie's skate with his stick, and even in the first one, his pad. You know yourself, they're banging around there. They're trying to dislodge the puck. In an effort to play the puck, they play the goalie. So it's a real fine line. If he ran in and crashed the goalie,
yeah,
that's a deliberate inability, decided not to avoid the goalie, deliberate contact. That's a penalty and a no goal if that were the case, if the puck entered the net. On this case, they can easily call it incidental contact, take the goal away, and one team's a little sad, but they're not going on the penalty kill.
Okay, enough said about goals scored. The playoff standard of rule enforcement in these NHL playoffs, and God, we could go back to your time. I don't want to do that. But why is it so different from the regular season to now? Last night, well, not just last night, Anaheim, Nashville, same thing. The stick work, the slashing. One instance last night, Stone hits Crosby, elbow, and then he comes up with his glove and backhands him in the jaw. You call it a butt end. I call that a backhander with your glove, and there's no call. What's going on?
Well, the big difference between you and Stone is he didn't knock out the teeth of Rick Middleton.
Well, that's because I did. I hit him in the teeth. He hit him in the jaw.
No, that's right. He hit him in the jaw. But you're saying it was a glove. The stick, it could have been roughing, for sure, if the stick wasn't hanging out the end of the glove like yours was.
Was not.
But Stone's not going to get 8 games. We can surely know that. But that had to be a penalty. You know, it had to be a 2-minute penalty, certainly for roughing, high sticking, whatever you want to call. And it wasn't. And to your initial question, historically, and I hate this, because when we came back from 2004 lockout and came back fresh in 05 with the new NHL, the expectation from all factions of the game was that a penalty was going to be a penalty from the start of the season to the end of the Stanley Cup final. And that has not been the case. It's deteriorated. We see the stick work. And the worst thing that a player can experience is when they get the sense that anything goes. They're going to be able to, quote, play. Let them play means let them cheat in my book. But they get the sense that they can pretty much have a free run here. And then the ref pulls a rabbit out of his hat, and that just crushes it. So the Ron Hainsey penalty.
I was going to talk about that, because all the stick work, the supposed butt end to the jaw, and then they call Ron Hainsey for interference along the wall on a dump in. Like, they let all the violent stuff go, and they call it a simple little interference penalty.
Well, you know, in the regular season, that is an interference penalty, and when they left training camp, they were instructed, guys, we got to stop the picks, the interference on players that dump the puck in. We want free go down the wall. So that was maybe a brain cramp, because it was an expected call during the start of the season through the regular season, and now into the playoffs, as you say, when there's some, I mean, Malkin, man, I'll tell you, he showed some dirt last night with his stick.
Oh, yeah.
And I know he's a nasty guy. He can be really nasty for a skilled player, kind of like Ovechkin. He can hurt you big time, but he got away with a lot of stuff. And then, you know, when there was a retaliation on multiple whacks, then it became a 4-on-4. So that was some game management. To get right to the point on if this will ever change, you look at a team and you see that coaches are changed because teams aren't successful. You had it in Montreal. General manager Marc Bergevin didn't like the way the team was going, brought in a guy that was available in Claude Julien to try and change it. Now, how long have we been talking about different and poor officiating, poor from a sense that a lot of stuff is being let go in the playoffs and not being called like it should be from the regular season? We've been talking forever about that.
For sure.
So the accountability and the coaching and the direction, I don't blame the officials so much as I blame the people that are responsible for having them on standard. And the general managers sit around in meetings in the summer and during the season, and they talk about how to fix the game, how to change the game, what do you want called. All those things come down from the general managers sitting around the table. So I'm not suggesting somebody should be fired. What I'm saying is they need to do their damn job and take charge of these guys. Hold them accountable. Tell them in a pre-playoff meeting, nothing's changed, guys. Don't allow the stick work. Don't allow the tripping and the obvious fouls. We want you to use good judgment. We want the players to be able to play with physicality and have good battles. But not the muggings that we saw last night in front of the net. That Crosby was on his knees and on his butt more than he was standing up. And finally, around from the far side, an interference or holding penalty was called. The guy was taken down 4 times. It shouldn't come to that. And the players have an expectation that they can pretty much do whatever they want. And when there's no fear factor that a referee will call a penalty, that's when it's open season.
Kerry, we're headed to a game seven now between the Penguins and the Senators, and what we'll hear until puck drop from players and from coaches is that it's just another game. Even though it's a game seven, it's just another game. And everyone knows in the building it really isn't. So I wonder, for a referee, how much do things change because it's a game seven? Does anything change?
Well, I don't think anything can change now after game six and beyond prior to that. You're not going to come in as a referee and try and bring a series some common ground or some sensibility or some control. It's going to be tough. That first penalty might dictate how the game will be played. I found in all the game sevens that I worked, they were, you know, the players wanted to play. There's no tomorrow. This is it. Done. So they don't want to put themselves in a bad position. Last game I had was Stanley Cup Final Game 7 in Tampa Bay, Calgary, 2004. And the game was one goal difference, 2-1. And Andrew Ferentz, absolutely, with a minute and a half left or so, and they're down a goal, Calgary down one, he took a liberty on Marty St. Louis and blasted him at the goal line, knocked him back towards the boards, hit him up high. Marty had a little blood on his lip, and I gave him a charging penalty. I mean, it was a penalty. And
was it 2 minutes or five?
It was a two.
Okay.
It was a two. So, you know, it's the old Jerome McGinley chased me around and said, you can't call it at this time of the game. I said, he shouldn't do it at this time of the game. Same thing with Alain Côté's disallowed goal in Montreal. That was a call that had to be made. There was 2 minutes and 30
God
seconds.
Bless you. God
that.
Bless you. God bless you, Kerry Fraser.
Well, I got to tell you, Knox, I was on that goal line, and as I saw Paul Gillis hook his skate around Brian Hayward's pad and start to drag him with his upper body outside the crease, I am seeing Côté come into the slot, and I'm going, oh, no, I'm dead. One way, no matter what I did, I was dead. And yeah. I couldn't look myself in the mirror if I had have allowed that goal to stand with the goalie being dragged out of the net by an attacking player. So I made the gutsy, ballsy call.
Oof.
I was dead right. I never did another game in the playoffs after that.
Yeah, and when we think about that, I remember, and you went through just hell for making that call. Obviously, Michel Bergeron visibly upset along with their whole team. And I get that, but geez, I guess I never could say I felt bad for the referee, but I did feel bad for the situation you got yourself in just for doing your job. I mean,
well,
that was
know,
tough.
That's what these guys have to do. They have to be supported. They don't need to be dropped when they make a courageous, correct call. They need to be supported in it. And oftentimes it's situational. If they make a call and nobody scores on the power play, it can be deemed, wow, that was a good call. He's had courage. He made that call. However, if it's a call that ends up being a game changer, all of a sudden it's viewed differently or can be viewed differently. You got to have people there that support them, that hold them accountable, because what's happening right now is it's like the standard is in sand. It shifts and changes, ebbs and flows. The players don't know what the hell they can do and they can't do, and I think it's got to change for the better at some point, and I hope it's within our lifetime.
Okay, so tomorrow night, Game 7 in Pittsburgh, Senators obviously looking to go in there and frustrate this team, take away their skating game, and win a hockey game and go on to the Stanley Cup Final. Now you, Kerry Fraser, if you're in charge of the referees right now in the National Hockey League, which I wish they would put you in charge, but I don't think that's going to happen considering the little man there, Mr. Bettman, was looking to punish you in some way or make your life miserable in some way because you had some things to say about concussion. So I don't think that's coming anytime soon, but I really feel that a guy like you could make some definitive changes to what's going on here with the officiating. But just say you're in charge right now. This game seven tomorrow night is so important. Who do you put in there for the referees tomorrow night? Do you put the referees that are going to do game seven of the Stanley Cup Final in there? Even if you say you had two guys already slated to to work that game. And they weren't necessarily the guys who are going to work the final. Would you make sure the guys who are going to work the final are doing that game tomorrow night?
Absolutely. You got to put your best in there. The teams are playing their best. You've got to put your best. Number one, number two, you put them together, and they've got to work that game. And what else I would do if I was in charge? After the game six and the shaky thing, I don't think it would have gotten to that point if there was some control from above, but... That being the case, I would go to both coaches, general managers. We'd have a sit-down. I'd say, okay, boys, here's the deal. I'm instructing my officials. That last one's a throwaway. It's not happening in Game 7. You're going to be allowed to play, but when you break a rule, if you take advantage of anything that the referee thinks you're going to get, is giving you, and it's a broken rule, you're going to pay the price. You're going to the box, and we're going to support them. So you control your players, coach. Keep them on the edge, play tough, play hard, we'll let you battle, but when you cross the line, and it's a broken rule, you're going to do the time. And that would be the instruction to the referees, don't overreact. I want you to make sure that it's a two-minute penalty, not a minute and a half, not a minute and three quarters. It's going to be a two-minute penalty, or a four, or a five. But make sure that you see it clearly, you never guess. Put yourself in position to see it. You make the call, and I will support you.
Good stuff. I really wish you were in charge. Anyway, Monday, you and I together, right? Ernie Els for autism, right?
You've been whining so much about the Royal Montreal.
Hey.
I'm coming in with the Els Foundation to do
the thing. Hey. What do you mean whining? All I said is, is there a spot for me?
And I said, yeah, you could be my caddy. And
here
really
I am.
Hurt your feelings.
So I don't caddy for anybody, pal. Okay? I wouldn't even caddy.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun, Knox, on Monday at the Els for Autism tournament at Royal Montreal. I can't wait. I'll see you Sunday night after you get back from PEI. Plan our strategy. It's two-man team, best ball, and I'll be on the signature par three hole. I'll see all the groups come through for the hole-in-one contest. We're giving away a trip for two to Ireland, so I am really pulling for you. I know you and I are besties, and if you win the trip for two to Ireland, you probably want me to go with
you. Yeah, for sure. Who am I playing with? Do you know yet?
It's a secret. I haven't told you yet.
All right, okay, that's cool.
I'm bringing in some ringers.
I'm good with that. All right, we'll talk to you on Sunday.
Okay, pal.
All right, Kerry, thanks so much. Kerry Frazier, former number one official in the National Hockey League. And who says that? Knuckles says that. Coming up, what the...